Hi, this is Norm Augustinus. I'm sorry I missed your call. After tone, leave your name and number. I'll get back to you.
First unheard voicemail message.
Hi, Norman. I hope you are healthy and happy when you get this voice message. Norm, I want to tell you a story. When I was a teenager, I was with my parents at a horseshoe pitching club that we belonged to. Horseshoe pitching is an outdoor game. Two steel stakes are hammered into the ground 40 feet apart. Each stake must stand 14 inches out of the ground. Players get two horseshoes that they can pitch. The object of the game is to score 21 points by landing the steel horseshoe as close to the stake as possible. My mom and dad were great at pitching horseshoes. I was just learning the game, but I was pretty good at pitching the shoes for a beginner. Because it was an outdoor summer sport, it could sometimes be very hot out while playing. That's why I always wore hot pants and a halter top. My shoe of choice was to always wear clogs. Norm, my jugs were enormous 36 double Ds. My areolas were as big around as beet jar lids. Are you familiar with a Ticonderoga number 2 pencil? If you broke that pencil in half, that would be the length of my suckable sexy nipples. Norman, one time while I was standing near the horseshoe pit, I felt a sudden sharp jab to my pussy. And then I felt it again. But how? Why? Norm, someone had buried an atomic-powered dildo machine under one of the horseshoe stakes. The steel stake was actually connected to a hydraulic dildo machine. The dildo machine was buried deep underground. Unfortunately, I was standing above the steel stake, and my supple legs were spread. As I stood there watching my mom and pop pitch horseshoes, the steel horseshoe stake rose up and out of the ground, and it drove its way deep into my fuckhole. The stake drove its way through the crotch of my hot pants, and it bore its way past the delicate fabric of my panties. In an instant, the steel horseshoe stake was moving in and out of my hungry pussy. As it moved in and out of my needy gash thousands of times, I came. And as I came, I moaned. I bucked my hips wildly, and as I bucked them, my cum-drenched clothes fell off my sweating goose-pimpled body. Norman, everyone that was playing horseshoes stopped playing, and they directed their attention to me. My eyes were rolled to the back of my head, and my mouth was open. The dildo lifted me 4 feet off the ground. I looked like an out-of-control nymphomaniac cornfield scarecrow. Norm, as I took the steel horseshoe stake to my dripping cunt, scary sounds came out of me. They were primal heart of darkness moaning sounds that can only happen when a woman takes 10 inches of horseshoe stake steel to the fuckhole. Eventually, I blacked out from orgasm overload. My knocked-out nude body went limp as I stood puppet-like, in the upright position, thanks to the horseshoe stake crammed into my cum hole. When I regained consciousness, a police officer told me that arrested out 1964 Ford Econoline van occupied by a gaggle of Muslims operated the atomic-powered horseshoe stake dildo machine remotely from a quarter a mile away. Atomic-powered dildo machines are anywhere and everywhere. Because of my bizarre, unexpected horseshoe stake pussy ring job, I walked bull-legged for 6 months. While I was naked and being loaded into an ambulance, an English woman walked up to me and she tapped me on the foot and she said,
"Once when I was a teenager, I was standing near a horseshoe pit. A man threw a horseshoe in my direction. Like you, I always wore short shorts. One end of the horseshoe got hung up in my pussy hole, and it went deep into my young cunt, and then the horseshoe swung towards the back of my sweet ass. That end of the horseshoe went deep into my tight crap hole. I fell to the ground. While I was writhing about in pain, I came a half dozen times. One of the horseshoe-playing dudes clutched onto the horseshoe that was lodged in both of my very private holes, and he dragged me to a station wagon. He used the horseshoe like it was a handle. While he dragged me, I came a couple of more times. He took me to hospital, and the horseshoe was removed from my shit and fuck hole using a medical-grade winch."
Norm, I am telling you this story in the hopes that it helps your female listeners. Girls, if ever you find yourself walking around a horseshoe pit, watch out for steel horseshoe stakes. You could take 10 inches to the minge. I did. Now I must go. Norm, I call you all the time, but you never phone me back. What gives? Can you please excuse me? I want to vibrate my clitoris and fuck hole while I smoke weed, tap my bong, dry hump a pillow, and come while I lie atop my dead grandmother's whiskey, semen, and piss-stained mattress.
Oh.
Bye.
End of messages.
He wishes he could have killed his grandmother. His mother says everything he touches turns to shit. He's been to jail, spent 24 hours in a mental institution, and unsuccessfully tried to kill himself 3 times. And now, live via the internet, Norm Augustinus.
Just rolling a cigarette, fuckstick. I'll be right with you.
Just one more message.
Second unheard voicemail message.
Norman, if the carpet smells like urine, that indicates uric acid crystals that are likely from a woman's pussy or from a domestic cat. Uric acid is just one ingredient of many that is exuded from the woman's vagina. It can also be found in a cat's urine. You cannot simply wash out the odors. The uric acid crystals must be broken down by enzymatic cleaners. Enzymatic cleaners break the crystals down into gases which will eventually evaporate away. Why can't you simply buy a rug instead digging through trash cans on rubbish day? Does the concept of possessing a certain amount of self-respect mean nothing to you? Have you been smoking the dope again? You'll likely have to throw the carpet out. It is almost certainly unusable. The carpets in your car must be professionally cleaned. I must go. There is a Gora walking towards me. A Gora is a white person like you. Call me another time when you are not hung over. Namaste.
So that recording you just heard, that was a recording left on my answering machine at my house. When I say answering machine, I mean it's an actual answering machine. It's the kind of machine that when you come through your house, you go to the kitchen and you see a flashing red light and you get excited. I don't know why you get excited, but I always did get excited. I think, wow, what's on that red light? And that means that somebody has left you a message. I still have a phone here. And they left a message, and that's what it was. That message was the red blinking light, was Rapalunge, my friend from the Detroit Health Department, and he was calling me back about a question I had to them. Normally I can get through to him, but oftentimes I can't get through to him at all. And because I had a question, he's always given me these tremendous answers, and official answers, and answers that are backed by just years and years of schooling that he has. So that was about I was asking him about a carpet. And that's where we're going to start here. A carpet that I had asked all these questions about with regards to Rapalunge. A disaster. An absolute nightmare. Something that should be in a movie that you would never think in a million years could happen. Nothing. All because you saw a carpet, an expensive carpet, 12 feet by 14 feet long, a big carpet, $500 or $600. And I said, wow, look at that carpet. I think I'll take it. Now, when I saw the carpet, it was on rubbish day? It was rubbish day, and the carpet had been rolled up, and it had masking tape rolled around each end of the carpet, and it was laying in a person's driveway. I live way up here in upper northern Michigan, so you pretty much know what trash day is and where you are. I happen to be in a neighborhood that was trash day, and I saw this thing. This is why I called Rapalunge. I called him, but it was already too late. It was already a disaster. I didn't know anything about carpets. I just thought it was a carpet. I thought, hey, there's a carpet. I found a carpet. This is fantastic. Look at the carpet. I don't know why, but it seems like the more I say carpet, it becomes funny to me. It like becomes allergic to, I become allergic to the word carpet. I mean, think about that. There's a carpet. Here's a carpet. It just sounds funny. Look at the carpet. It was 11 or 12 feet by 15 feet or 14 feet long. That's how big the carpet is. And if you don't know that, they run about $400 or $500. It was very ornate. And I saw it laying in a drive on rubbish day, and it was taped on both ends. Now, it had been raining, and it was soaking wet. And I thought, well, no big deal. I want that carpet.
I want to put the carpet in the work area, when I have this work building, I want to put the carpet in there. It's going to be perfect. It's even better than that. It's the quality that should be in a person's home, and it probably was in their home. Well, I thought, look at that carpet. I'm going to stop. I'm going to get the carpet. I'm going to put it in a Ranger. I've got a pickup truck, an old Ranger with a V6 engine. It's the simplest thing you ever saw to work on. Got the starter outside, got the alternator outside, got the water pump outside. Everything is outside the engine. Got a fan belt. There's nothing in it you can't fix. Six-cylinder engine, its spark plugs are a piece of cake. It's the best thing you could ever imagine. It's not like today you buy a car, you don't really own it. They decide what the prices will be with the replacement. They're all designed so you can't work on it. Everybody knows that. And it's just impossible, but I own this thing outright. I got it ages ago. I like old-time stuff, old vintage stuff, old trucks, old snowmobiles, old ultralight aircrafts. I like them all because you can work on them, and there's a real sense of machinery there. You know, people were putting this together. There's all this history, all this background, and I just like it better. So I saw this carpet. And that's where the call comes from the beginning with Rapa Lunge. I've known him for years. R-A-P-P-A, and the last name is Lunge, L-U-N-G-E. Very educated guy that works in the biology department for the Detroit Health Department. He initially was hired on to study social diseases and any flare-ups in Detroit, Michigan. He knows all about that. I used to ask him all kinds of questions. But Rapa called me back, and he answered all my questions, and we're going into that now. We're going to put Rap in the background here. You've got the start of this, and we're starting now. I saw this carpet laying on a rubbish day in a person's driveway. And I thought, look at that thing. That's pretty good. Though it had been raining. It's in the driveway. It's gigantic. When they're big like that, they're $300, $400, $500, even more. They could be $25,000. It depends on the kind of carpet it is. This area carpet, it's not like you had a carpet people come in and lay it. These are special carpets you buy and put on top of your carpet so it looks better. So I slowed down. I went past the carpet, and then I drove around again. I was eating a Slim Jim. I was looking out the windows, and I thought, look at that carpet. All my mind was going, the machinery was going, all the thoughts, the possibilities. I saw the carpet, $400 or $500, laying in the driveway. It's not stealing. It's free. They got it on the garbage. The garbage men will take it. The rubbish men people will take it. And so I thought, I'll get it before they get it. It's the damn carpet, and it's going to be perfect for me. I'm super excited to take the carpet. Now, in the carpet, on the Ranger Ford truck I have, it's got a cab on top of it, a thing over the top of the back of the truck. It's a type of cab. You have to pull the top up, you pull the bottom down, and you put it in. Now, I have it so that there's a sliding window between the cab and the thing in the back, the cab in the back. You slide a window, and there's also a screen there. It's really nice. I've done that many times. I've had people and other stuff like that. When camping and shit like that, put some bitch back there. You can talk to her and stuff. She's on her period. You don't want to smell her period. She's in there. You just don't want it. You got this space, this sliding window. I just can't stand the stench of pussy. Now, I've had probably bad women, and I know this to be true. I've thought it through. At an early age, I had Kim. Her pussy stunk so bad. We were in her dad's GMC Jimmy, and it really turned me off of women in that regard for a long time. Psychologically, I couldn't get past it unless I'm wasted. Unless I'm doing coke, or I'm fucking drunk, or I'm smoking all kinds of weed, then I could do it. Now the guard, the id, the soul, whatever controls you, everything gets lax and you don't care now. You'll eat anything. So I went past it again, the carpet. And I said, I'm going to take that carpet. I want that carpet. And it looked like people still love the carpet. I mean, who rolls up a giant carpet like that, then tapes it on each end? It seemed like to me they were rolling it up with tapes on each end. They were saying, here, take this. We've taped it so you can have it. It's easier to access. It's easier to move away. That's what it seemed like. That's what anybody would interpret it as. Here, please take this carpet because we're taping it on each end. It's a convenience. We're glad you like it. Here it is. Hey, just throw it in your trunk of your car, in your back of your SUV, pull up the fucking bonnet or whatever it is, and stuff it in your car, and off you go. So I thought, these are probably nice people. And I was excited because I've often seen things on rubbish day. Maybe you have too. You see a 50-inch fucking flat panel screen out there and you think, wow, if it doesn't work and I take it apart, there's all kinds of wiring in there. There's all kinds of switches. There's all kinds of circuit boards. I can cut all the capacitors, the resistors, everything off the board and save them. I got this big thing with all these drawers. I can save it and then dump the rest. So I went past it and I'm going back to it again. Now, please know that at the beginning of this recording where you hear Rapalunge talking, I didn't know any of that shit he's talking about. I had no idea what he was talking about because when I was looking at the carpet in the rubbish, I didn't know Rapalunge would going to answer and give me those answers and tell me about a carpet. So I stopped the car and got out. When I got out, the woman was in the yard or near the door and she waved at me. Immediately, I could tell she was interested in your correspondent. All bitches are interested in me. I don't know what it is. Tall, thin, I'm really attractive, well-spoken. They think, wow, what a nice guy. He could come over here one day, he could eat me out, we could fuck. My husband's away at work, he works for the fucking city, he does snow in the winter, and he does grass in the summer. That's what a lot of people do up here. They work for the city, way up in upper northern Michigan, and that's how they support themselves with this different job. Snow plow in the winter, cutting grass in the summer, that kind of thing. So when I get out, I grab the carpet. Now, the carpet is completely soaking wet. Soaking wet beyond anything you could imagine. So heavy. You know that, what does it say? 1 gallon of water weighs 8 pounds. I think that's right. A gallon of water weighs 8 pounds. Now, this carpet was gigantic. 12 by 15, something like that. Huge. Very costly carpet. So it was just drenched in water, like somebody took it and dropped it in water, dropped it in a pool or something, drenched it in water, so it was extremely heavy. And I clutched onto it. When I clutched onto it, the front of my shirt, all my pants, all that, soaking fucking wet. Now, I had Dubes in my fucking front pocket. I got this T-shirt from the Doors, and it has a pocket on it, which is very rare, by the way. They never had pockets on it. It's a very old shirt. It actually had a pocket where you could put your fucking cigarettes, you could put a pen in there, something like that. But they never had pockets. None of the Doors T-shirts, the old Doors stuff, not the reprints and all that stuff, actually had a pocket it, and I had Dubes in it. When I picked this fucking rug up, the Dubes got fucking wet and they were useless. Like, it was gone. Already, that was a problem. I lost 2 Dubes in there from Benconning Paralyzer. Not fucking pre-rolls, not shit brought from a goddamn medical place, dispensary, or some official retail outlet for marijuana. It wasn't nothing like that where you could get a blunts and all that. Whatever it is you want to get, pre-rolls, that's basically garbage. You really don't know what you're getting. Because they don't want to pay taxes on it in Michigan, they're all buying marijuana, the dispensaries and all that, the suppliers, the whatever it is, the people that supply that, they're looking elsewhere so they don't have to get taxed on the marijuana, so they're buying outside the legal areas, and you don't really know what you're getting in your pre-roll. So provisions, I think they call them provisionaries, marijuana to provisionary store, like a general store, only a marijuana. So it destroyed those 2 fucking rolls I had there, and that was a loss immediately. Now, when I threw the carpet, which I had to have, and I don't know what it was. Do you ever have this happen? I start laughing as I'm picking it up. I'm picking it up. My Dubes are soaked. My door shirt soaked. My pocket soaked. The belt around my waist and down to my pants is soaked. That's how wet this goddamn carpet is. Now, a normal person, and I know this to be true, would have said, fuck it. What are you doing, Norm? It's soaking wet. You don't want to go through that shit. Soaking wet, laying the thing. But I saw that as even more of a challenge. I had to have this fucking carpet. Well, I just had to have it. So I'm soaking wet. I lost 2 Dubes in my pocket. The shirt's soaking wet. And as I put it in the back of the truck, I noticed an extreme odor. I mean an odor like you can't imagine. Like someone was laying in their own feces and urine on a bed and they were dead for a couple weeks or 3 or 5 weeks or 6 weeks. The whole bed's gone. I noticed an odor like that. So powerful, so stunning, so shocking. It was, I sort of disabled on the spot. And then when I threw it in the track of the truck, I lifted my T-shirt up and smelled my T-shirt. It was the same thing, this most horrifying, sickly stench you've ever smelled. And I thought, wow, no problem. Okay, it's a problem now, but no problem. I'll simply take it to a place that has pressure washer, like at a car wash, self-serve car wash, the open bays, and I'll take it there and I'll spray it and all that shit, and it'll be no fucking problem. So that's what I do. I think, okay, I'm going to pay a price now. It's a great deal. It can't come without strings. I'm going to have to pay somehow. I guess I'm getting it for free, but it's not 100% free. You got to expect issues or troubles with it. And I bide myself that way. When I load it into the truck, I notice that the back of the fucking Ranger goes down like a foot. This is no shit. It goes down like a foot. Now, please understand that I've had fucking engines in this thing, and I've never seen it drop that low. I've had engines in it. I've had a chunk of steel. I once picked up a die set. That's what they use to stamp parts in Detroit, Michigan. The die set has four pins. It's got a top plate, a bottom plate. And then a die maker makes the die inside to stamp a part out. And they're extremely heavy. This fucking thing must have weighed 2,000 pounds for some side door from a car ages and ages away. And I did that for a guy who said, Norm, that's from a goddamn 72 Plymouth. And he told me the car, and he said, it's very valuable. That's the die that stamped the doors. I said, what are you going to do with it? You got the rest of the parts? What are you going to do with it? And I understand that. He said, I just got to have it. I don't know why. It had pins and bushings and bowl bearing sleeves on it. As it went up and down, it was put into an actual stamping machine, this big press, and that's what a die set is for. And I once transported that fucking thing. This carpet made it go down a foot, maybe 18 inches. It just went clunk. It went down that far. And I've had other leads put on the back of that truck on the suspension, but I never seen nothing go down that heavy with just a carpet. Didn't make any sense. A carpet could do that to the truck? And I'm stinking to high heaven. I don't know what it is. It's the most putrid odor you've ever smelled. And so I thought, no problem. Car wash. No problem. I got a dupe in the fucking glove box. I'll smoke some flour there. I'll smoke it down here. It's illegal in Michigan. You can't drive and smoke. I'll smoke it down that way, but I do put it in a fucking thing that I found at a Salvation Army store that I bought years ago. Like, if you ever saw the movie Breakfast in Tiffany's, the star, the main woman, she had a long cigarette thing that she could put a cigarette into, and she could put it in her mouth. It was like a cigarette extension to keep the cigarette away from you, so the smoke didn't impregnate your clothes or your hair, your face. It was this long cigarette-like thing extension that I bought at the Salvation Army. So I have rolled joints that look like cigarettes that I put in that, and I smoked that in a truck as I was going out. And I thought, that's no problem. I've got that. Audrey Hepburn, I think, was a star in that movie. I've got that. I've got the carpet. It's no problem. This thing's going to be fantastic. And I don't know nothing about carpets and shit like that. Carpets, carpet odors. I had no idea what any of that stuff was. And before I called Rap-A-Lunge, I called somebody else, and they didn't have any idea. The guy said what I said. Take it to a pressure washer, clean it. You might have a $500 rug there that they didn't want anymore. Maybe the person died on it. You know, that happens all the time. Maybe they were fucking on it and they died. One of them died or fucking on it. She didn't want it anymore. It reminded her of her man. She dumped the carpet. There's all sorts of petty reasons why someone would dump something that expensive. And it was absolutely beautiful, the carpet. So as I'm leaving the driveway where they had the carpet, I waved at the lady, and I could tell straight away that she wanted me to fuck her. And that sounds crude. That might sound fucking somehow, I don't know what, somehow some macho man, it's whatever they call it, toxic fucking masculinity. But you just know, and I could tell she wanted to bang me out. Maybe the guy was gone or something. And while I was over, and I actually entertained it. Now, one time, years ago, I delivered flowers to a woman's house. This will sound silly, maybe. It just reminds me of it. I delivered flowers to her house, and I sat in. It was a flowery delivery company for a big place called Viviano Florist, and that was in Michigan, and he couldn't make it for 3 days. Now, the drivers never saw anybody. The drivers had to take the orders out of the cooler, and they had actual labels on them, take the orders out of the cooler, put them in order in the back of whatever you were transporting them in, and deliver the flowers. So he said, could you fill in for 3 days for me? I'll give you what I make per day. I think it was like just under $100, something in that neighborhood. And I said, yeah, sure. Now, the first one day I did it, I went to a woman's house, and she let me in the house. She said, come on in. He told me they never let you come in at that time, and I asked if they tipped. She said, no, they never rarely ever tip you. She said, come on in. Now, the woman was about 60, but the best-looking 60-year-old you ever saw. I mean, I wouldn't hesitate to bang her out. She could pump just like everybody else. In fact, she's got more experience than a lot of people. When I came in, she gave me a hug like we were lovers. She was so excited to get flowers, and I still remember her. She said, and she's sort of giggling. She said, today's my birthday. And she gave me this real sexual hug, man. I can't go in deeper in that. I could feel it right now. If you saw the hesitation in my voice just now, you saw that there was hesitation. That's because I could feel my fucking cock heating up. It's 14.5 inches long, 15.5 pounds. That's how big a dick I have. It's no shit. You know, the average ball on a man weighs about a pound, and I've got two massive fucking big balls, like baseballs, like the size of the baseballs in the Babe Ruth days when they were a different type of baseball, a different core in the baseball. That's the kind of balls I have, but I could have easily made a move on this chick, man. And I thought, wow, this is like what I heard about milkmen and shit. This is a job for me. This is cool. I don't try to discover myself through feminine things or rise or whatever they call it. I don't try to ID what I am or say I must have this to prove to myself this. If a person wants to fuck, that's what human beings do, then I'm going to fuck them. I'd fuck your sister right now. It's no problem. If you were at a gas station and she was there visiting you and you had an office there and you were working on the front struts of a car and she was there visiting you and she saw me when I came in, and I'm going to buy a Clark bar from the machine or a Coca-Cola, and you had that office open, I'd take your sister in and I would bang her the fuck out. And I'd become a different person. If you came running in, you could get killed. I could put one right between your fucking cross-eyed eyes. Am I kidding you? It's all business when it comes to fucking with me. But that's what I'm trying to make a point here. I felt the same thing with this woman. I thought, wow, she's making a move on me. Day one, I'm going to get pussy. A woman's getting flowers. And I tried to figure that out. And I think I finally found it out. And it's this. I figured it out. As I was giving her flowers, I was a man. How is that different than another man that she likes coming in and giving her flowers? It's almost exactly. It's the same things. It's reciprocity or some whatever they call that. I was a man giving her flowers, and she was going to respond that way to me as though she was responding to a guy who meant something to her as he gave her flowers. But I was a second away, I'm not shitting you, from taking my hand and cupping my hand. I just cup it. The fingers, the pointer finger and the middle finger. I cup it and I bend it around. You bend it at the knuckle. You bend it around at the knuckle. It's like a bent two fingers. And I just bend it around their crotch and I poke those two fingers in their fuck hole. And sometimes I go deeper to the shithole. I just go in there and start rubbing. I was so close to doing that, but something stopped me. I thought, no, his job and all that. I can't do that. I'm doing his job. They don't know I'm doing his job. Then it comes back that somebody filled in for him and they fucked one of the customers. That's really horrible. That's a horrible scene, man. I just didn't do it. So getting back to the story. So I got the carpet. It's in the truck. I close the doors. The lady waves at me. I know she wants to fuck. Now, you have to understand, everybody knows time is fast. Time goes quick. You got to respond fast. They know they're going to be old tomorrow, and everybody's open to you fucking and sucking and licking and dicking. Whatever it is, they're all open to that shit, and you're wasting time, fuckstick. You just are. You're wasting valuable time staying frozen like a fucking, some kind of, like an old limerick in your house. You going to work, you got your brick detached garage, you got your fucking, your Ram truck, you coming back, you're repeating and doing, fuck that. There's too much to explore, too much out there for you to go for than doing that repeatedly. So I got back into the truck and I slid the thing open. I wanted to see how bad the odor was. Did you know that before I slid the back thing that separates the cab from the truck, the back window, it's got a sliding window and a screen in it, before I even had to do that or mess around with it, I could smell the stench of this carpet. The stench was that fucking bad, that goddamn overwhelming with this carpet. So I sort of had reservations at first, but because I'm more old school, I thought, okay, jet sprayer, fucking sprayer from some car wash, I'm in the self-serve booth, it's no problem. You got it covered. You're going to use a spray, this high-pressured sprayer. You're going to spray the carpets. You're going to let the water drip out. It's going to be like brand new. And they fucked themselves. They didn't want it. They don't want to deal with it. But I want to deal with it. I got the ambition, the effort I'm putting into it. I want to deal with it, so I'll just take it there. So that's what I did. That was the first fucking stop. So that's the first thing. The odor was overwhelming. It was extreme. My shirt stunk bad. Now, when I say it stunk bad, I smelt a mix of pussy and urine. Pussy and urine. Now, they're close by. If it's a chick, it's pussy and urine. The urine hole is right in the same slot as a god. I mean, there's the snatch. There's a urine hole. There's the fucking cunt hole, the cunt track. It's all got the same one opening. It's like a flap on a chicken. A chicken flap does two things. It opens and lets shit out, and then it opens a different way and it lets an egg out. It just uses the same hole. That's what a chick is. Chicks are chickens. They got eggs in them, don't they? That's a flap. That's a female. That's a human being girl's flap, and that's a chicken flap. So that's, you know, it's like a flap, and it just smelled like in the trunk I could smell urine, and I could smell pussy. Pussy and urine, and it was really overwhelming. It was overwhelming. I was being overwhelmed by the stink of urine, by the stink of pussy, by the stink of urine. It's on my shirt. The thing weighed 3,000 pounds. I told you that 8 gallons of water, what's 1 pound is 1 pound. So this fucking carpet's gigantic. It's like 400-500 pounds, and I could still feel my lower back right now. And when I picked it up, I thought, oh, wow, this is heavy. This is heavy. There is no fucking free ride. This is shit that starts to go through my mind. There is no free ride. There is no free gosh damn thing. There's nothing free. There's no free ride. Everything has strings. Everything has conditions. If something's going to come out of this, I don't know what, but, you know, okay, great carpet. But I saw it there, and I had to have it. So the first thing I do is, and it's quite a ways from my house because I don't live anywhere near town. I live in the middle of nowhere in upper northern Michigan, and you have to drive a third of a mile down a dirt road just to get to my house off the main road, off the main paved road, which is only a fucking two-lane road. So I get to the car wash, and I drag this thing out. When I opened the truck, it was absolutely repulsive. It smelled like somebody had died. It smelled like I had a dead body in there. If a cop had pulled me over, they'd say, what have you been transporting? What's the odor I smell in the back? Even in the cab, it was overwhelmed. It was gone. There was nothing you could do about it. It was blown out with the stink, with a powerful stink of this. But I'm sort of laughing, and I still got my long cigarette extender, the one that fucking what's-her-name used in Breakfast at Tiffany's, Katherine Hepburn. I still have that thing. I get out of it, and I'm still smoking it as I'm moving the thing around inside the car wash bay. And I don't care anybody sees that. I'm 6'2". What the fuck are you going to do about it? I was in Vietnam for 2 tours, 18 months. I will cut you in fucking half, motherfucker. I will put one right between your goddamn crossed eyes, and I don't care. I just will, and I'll take off. And when I take off, I'm going to stop at a store and buy a fucking chunky, and I'm going to eat the chunky on the way home, and I won't think twice about you. I've done it. Done it many, many times. Maybe today even. I don't really know. No. So when I got in the car wash, I pulled it out. The stink was overwhelming. I ripped the tape and I unrolled the carpet. Absolutely stunning. $500 carpet easy because it's so gigantic. And maybe it's years old. It's easily that. And I'm sort of laughing to myself. Have you ever done that? This is fucking all for me. They were stupid. Stupid motherfuckers. Obtuse idiots. Spoiled fucking boomer in there with his house and shit. Didn't care. But I wasn't thinking that way. I was laughing. I thought I had really gained on this damn thing. So I put the card in, the charge card. When I put the charge card in, it said $2.50 per 5 minutes. So I put the charge card in. I figured I could do this thing in 5 minutes. Easily, no problem. I'm going to spray the top. I'm going to flip it over. And it's extremely hard to flip over because it's so heavy. It's extremely hard to maneuver the carpet, period, because it's so goddamn nutty heavy. So I flip it over one side, flip over the other side. The water starts. I tap my card. And coincidentally, it didn't have a place for coins. So this place was just relying on the charge card or your debit card, whatever you're using. It was just relying on that. There was no more slot for quarters or a place to put dollar bills in. Whatever bills you happen to use, it's just change it accordingly to what I just said. And then I started it up. When I started it up, I started spraying the carpet at like a 45-degree angle. I went from one end of this huge, huge carpet, which barely fit into the bay, and it did come up the wall about a foot. And I started spraying the carpet. I didn't miss a spot on it. And like I said, I'm laughing. I'm feeling confident. I'm loving it. Then I flipped it over, and I'm spraying the backside of the carpet, and I'm thinking about all the great shit that I'm going to do with this carpet. I'm going to put it in a work thing that I have, this big work fucking building. I'm going to put it in there. I'm going to maybe put it in the basement. Who knows where I'm going to put it? It's so damn beautiful that I practically start crying. And you probably think I couldn't start crying. Let me tell you something, Foxstick. I've cried many, many times. I've been disappointed hundreds and hundreds of fucking times. When I was a kid, I didn't have a real dad. I didn't even meet my real dad. And I used to go out with my Aunt Marge. Who wasn't even my Aunt Marge. She was my stepfather's sister. And one time I was cut off from that because I was lippy or gave him trouble. They said, your birthday's canceled. I still remember that well and how badly it hurt. And sometimes I cry now. I don't know why. She weighed 500 fucking pounds. She took me to a place called goddamn Woolworths, and she said I could have between this area and this area in the toy rack, all stuff on a blister card, all absolute goddamn garbage. If she was alive today, I would run at her as fast as I could with a fucking pressure-treated 2x4 and punch it right in her stomach. The cheapest motherfucker in the world, and that's where you might find that family really matters. See, she wasn't actually family to me. It's like doing me a favor. The great Norma Augustinus doing me a favor. I'd have fucking come at her from the back today with a sickle. Like that thing you cut corn and shit. You cut wheat off a sickle with a wooden handle. I'd come at the thing on a Russian logo. I'd come at her from the back of that and take that head right off. She was so goddamn fat, you can't believe it. So, as I'm working on the carpet, and I'm seeing stuff come out. Not much, but I do see yellow stains on it. And in that booth, I could really smell like pussy. I could smell pussy. I could smell piss, like pet piss. If you're familiar with pet piss, a cat piss. A cat takes a leak. It's like impossible to get out. It's impossible. A cat takes a leak. You got a chick. She takes a leak on your bed when you're fucking her. You got the pussy there. I can't tell you how many beds are destroyed by chicks on their period, on their fucking having pussy, the goddamn leaking out all the holes. It's really high maintenance. So, as I'm spraying, the unit shuts off. And I've gone through 5 minutes. When the unit shuts off, I get a notice in the phone into my back pocket. And the notice says this. You have got a $15 fee from this car wash. And I think to myself, a $15 fee? It said $2.50. It's not a $15 fee. What is this? And it said it was a hold on the card for the $2.50 fee, which I was really upset about. They had to put a $15 hold on a $2.50 fee. That makes you think they're going to charge you possibly more. There's some racket going on. They're trying to collect more. Nobody does anything about it. And it really upset me. So already now, two things. The stench of this fucking thing, the weight of this thing, it says three things, and a goddamn cost they just charged me with this carpet to spray, pressure spray the carpet. When the thing shuts off, I figure it's done. All I gotta do now, and I'm still thinking about the whole time. A hold? There should be a sign up on the wall that says hold. A hold? It doesn't say nothing about a hold. There should be signs. There should be all kinds of notices. Someone should have put a flyer on the side. Nobody wants a hold placed on their card for $2.50 to clean a goddamn carpet that you just dragged out of the rubbish. Nobody wants, I don't think anybody wants a hold period on their charge card or their debit card ever. So I take the thing, the carpet, I try to move it against the wall. I roll it up and I try to stand it. And I think this, I'm going to let the carpet drain out. I'm going to stand it up. It's going to drain out heavy because it's like a water magnet. It's like a wet sponge in a sink, a thick sponge you might buy in Tarpon Springs, actually dive for from the bottom of the ocean. It's that kind of a spongy absorbentness with this carpet. So I stand it up. When I stand it up, the fucking carpet pushes me, turns the wrong way, pushes and knocks me into the urine, pussy-smelling water, and I fall sideways, and now I'm soaked. Totally soaked, and I had a dupe in my right pocket that I just took out of the glove box, the accessory door, whatever you call it. I just took out of that to replace the two dupes I lost in my shirt pocket, the door shirt pocket. Those fucking things never have a pocket. But they should have pockets. Should have pockets. I mean, who better was walking around without fucking joints and weed and shit than at that time with a pocket? You got to have a fucking pocket. They don't have pockets anymore. So I fell over sideways in the water, and the water really stunk. It was a bad scene all the way around, man. In the stench coming from inside the cab. Now, the cab I had carpeting in it. Really beautiful carpeting. I put it in myself. I used liquid nails. I bought a remnant carpet at a carpet place. It was indoor, outdoor. It stunk horribly, and shit was leaking out of the back of the, when I pulled the back door down, shit that looked like it was tea colored liquid coming out of the back of the truck, out of the carpet that I had put in there. So far, I'm pretty much sure I've destroyed the fucking carpet in the truck. I've wrecked two tubes. Destroyed the two in my pocket, two in my right pocket, when I fell over, when this fucking thing fell over. It was like a massive weight swinging into you, like a ball on a damn wrecking ball. It was like that, pushed me over into the water, and the water stunk. I don't know if I'll ever get that out of my pants. I mean, if it is pussy, if it is a stench of pussy, you can't get pussy out, man. That's no shit. They don't talk about that stuff. They never talk about anything real like that. You can't get the stench of pussy out. You can't get the stench of fucking, of pet piss out, cat piss out of a rug. You can't get it out. You just can't get it out. And I didn't know any of that stuff as it's leaking out of the back of the truck. So I'm soaking wet. I got the carpet back in, and I'm starting to think maybe you shouldn't have done this. I'm starting to think that I'm getting pissed off, and I'm getting pissed off at the motherfucker who put it out in his goddamn driveway. If he's got fucking massive amounts of pets, if he has a chicken there with a really wet pussy and they've banged out in his carpet and fucked in front of the fireplace, I'm really getting pissed off because there should have been a notice on the carpet, because I'm telling you the truth. Nobody would take a carpet if there was an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper on it that said, "This carpet stinks highly of piss. This carpet stinks highly of pussy. Would advise not to take it." That would have been why they were dumping it. They thought it was impossible to fucking clean. I didn't know none of that shit till I called Rapalonge and he left a message and all that. You heard at the beginning of this recording. So it's leaking out. Now, when I take it home to the back to the place, I think this to myself. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put it. Now, this is the part that's deeply upsetting, deeply unsettling. The whole damn thing sent me into a shudder. I mean, it's all the way around a queer event that I shouldn't have got involved in. I know this now. So I take it goddamn home. I take it home and I think this. I can't throw that out. I can't throw it out. I don't want to throw it out. If I throw it out, then this was an expensive carpet. How could I let odors stop me? How could odors stop a person from trying to resuscitate this carpet and bring it back to life, bring it back to its full luster, put it someplace where it should be, not with the fucking animals that had it? And I'm thinking, you know what I'm going to do? If I can't get this carpet fucking done, I'm going to go over there, I'm going to pop one in that fucker's head. His old lady's going to come out, I'm going to pop her too. And whatever fucking dog's in there and shit like that, I'm going to hang him. I'm going to hang him. If the dog has done this to this carpet and I'm dying from it, I'm going to hang that fucking dog. I'm going to put a rope around his head. And I'm going to pull up. I'm going to swing him around this goddamn house and bash him in all the fucking walls. That's what I'm going to do because of the shit and trouble, the non-disclosure, the waiver that should have been on the thing that wasn't there. So I get home. And I think, okay, I'm going to put it in the bathtub. I'm going to put it in the bathtub, and I'm going to let it soak in the bathtub. I'm going to put a high water, and it can't, nothing could live in that. I'm going to put hot water in it. I'm going to put shampoo in it. I'm going to put whatever I got, I'm going to put in it. I mix it with shampoo. I mix it with something called bleach and peroxide. I had a thing called penicillin. It's some kind of chemical. I had that, and I put that in the bathtub. And I thought, nothing could live through this. Now, these, I didn't know what it was. These uric crystals. Uric crystals, like Rapalonge said at the beginning of this recording, is in a cat's pee. It's even in a woman's pee. These crystals, these uric crystals, look it up if you think I'm kidding you. You can't get rid of them. They're microscopic and they cling to the fibers. Actually, the underlayment of the carpet, they cling there. You can't get rid of them. And if anything ever hits it again, water or anything, it reactivates the stench of piss. They're like fucking machines. They're like monsters. This urine crystals. You can't kill them with anything. You can look it up. Uric crystals. You can't kill them. I had no fucking idea. I'm old school. I thought, man, I'm going to use a pressure treated on it. It's dead. Nothing can withstand a pressure treater. And it did withstand a pressure treater. When I loaded it back in the truck and the tea water was leaking out of the back of the truck out of the carpet that I probably ruined, it was leaking out of the carpet too, and it stunk of piss so horribly that the whole truck was basically nuked. I can't go out in that. I can't take pussy out in that. How can you get a chick interested in you if the truck smells like old pussy? She's going to smell it and think you just banged somebody else out in there. It's not really attractive in any damn way. What do they say? Shape or form? Way, shape, or form? It's not attractive in any way. So I take it home. When I take it home, I say, I'm going to put it in the bathtub. I'm going to bend it in these pieces. I'm going to bend it up. Here's what I did. I rolled it up. It was flat and heavy and soaking wet. And then I folded it again and then put it into the bathtub with hot water. And then I added in this Pinolin. It's like red shit. It's like dollar store level. It's bleach. It's peroxide. I put all kinds of stuff in there, hydrogen peroxide. I added all to the bathtub, and I thought that's going to kill it. It's no problem. I got the thing for free. You're still ahead. Okay, there's a lot of stink going on. Okay, you lost some dubs. You lost some fucking flour. You can't smoke it. You got bricks of weed the chicks have given you. It's okay now. No problem. You're all set now. So what? You stink a little. You get rid of it. Your weed's been fucking contaminated. Your door shirt's destroyed. Your fucking pants are ruined with a stench. So I put it in a bathtub. And I put it in a bathtub. Now, here's the part. It's going to become really unsettling. The part that I never bargained for, the part that I would never believe in a million years, when you're trying to salvage a fucking carpet out of the rubbish, you're trying to salvage it, I never would have believed something like this could have happened ever. And it's 100% true. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. How could I make this up? I can't. It has to be drawn from somewhere. So you know this isn't scripted or made up or in any way. I'm telling you, as it happened, what went down. I mean, who would talk about a carpet anyways? So I put the carpet, I folded it up, I had to work it like crazy, and then dragged this smelly thing, I mean, smelly beyond smelly, like a lady died or something, and her urine bag, like, blew open, like the way the alien came out of a guy's chest. Her urine bag blew open and blew all urine all over the walls, and it was like that for a week. Try to imagine that. And that's what this thing smelled like. The only thing stopping me from lighting on fire or running with everything I had and throwing it into the fucking lake was the possibility, the promise of what it could be, the promise of what I saw it should be, where it should be in my home, the promise of its beauty and restoring it to its former glory. That's what I was thinking. There was nothing else in front of me, just that image of me smiling with this free fucking $500 carpet. So I run the hot water, and I put it in the tub, and I run the hot water, just hot water, until the hot water runs out. And then I add cold water because it's not high enough to completely submerge the carpet, and then it is. And then I'm pushing down on the carpet to make sure it's completely under the water. You want it under the water. I got all these chemicals in here. Now, everything I read says that you can't get rid of these crystals, these urine crystals, these uric crystals, U-R-I-C. You can't get rid of them. They're like indestructible. Nothing gets rid of them. They have to be, like Rapa Lunch says at the beginning of this recording, they have to be extinguished by some type of enzymatic, and then it destroys it, and then it turns into a gas, and then that gas evaporates. That's the only way to get rid of cat urine in a carpet or cunt urine, piss urine from a female in a carpet. I don't know which one it is, because he told me they were almost the same in another recording that I didn't have an answer. So I put it in a bathtub, and I light a dube up. I spark up a dube. I got my flower going. It's really good. I got my album playing. I got my messages on my tape recorder. It's really good. It's a phone mate. That's what they call it, a phone mate telephone answering machine. It's fucking thing's ancient, but it works perfectly. I just feeling good, and I know this. Man, you can kill somebody in a bathtub. This is the big organism in itself, this big, living, consuming, consumptionary, hateful organism known as a man, as a woman. You could put them in a tub and drown them. Why the fuck couldn't I get rid of the uric crystals from urine in this carpet if I submerge it? And I think, it's absolutely going to work, no problem. I get my fucking dub going. I light it. I like to light marijuana cigarettes. I got a gas stove, and I like to light my joint. I like to light it right from the stove. It feels so rugged and shit. Gas is going. It's serving me. Look at the gas and helping me. Natural gas. It's helping me. There's a fire there. Light this fucking, help me smoke this flower. I feel like we're a partnership, and I'm really, really well off. I'm fucking into the world and shit. I'm just fitting in, rocking and rolling as I do this. So I put the carpet in a goddamn bathtub and I'm pushing on it. As I'm pushing on it and as I'm dragging from my weed and I got my mirror bowl on, I got the mirror bowl, I got some music on, I got the fucking canned heat on. I like a couple songs of that. And as I'm doing, pushing down on it, thinking, this is going to be great, man. This fucking carpet's a knockout. They're not going to stop me. I don't care what stink it is. They can get rid of it. People die in homes and they can sell the home. I sure as shit can get rid of this stink and they can still sell a home and they died in a home 2 months earlier and they sell it and pan it off on somebody else. Nobody smells any death. They know how to do it. As I'm pushing down, this is no exaggeration. As I'm pushing down on it, remember I told you how hard heavy carpets are? Carpets that size, fucking 1 pound is 8 gallons. As I'm pushing down, the whole fucking bottom of the bathtub completely explodes, completely implodes. The whole bottom goes out. It's just a big goddamn hole. The carpet and the water all went into the basement. Boom, just like that. Like it was planned, like say I was doing a movie shot or something and someone had rigged the tub and they cut the tub out. It's almost totally through and they could pull a pin or something. The tub would go out. That's how the fuck this thing caved in. The bottom just fucking fell out and I was stunned. I stood up and I took about 5 hits from my joint and I'm just looking at the goddamn hole in the bathtub that went down to the basement. And what do I smell? All I smell like a chimney coming up from the bathtub is the stench of urine. It's a stench of old pussy, whatever's embedded to that carpet that you can't get rid of. Now, a fucking bathtub is $250, and this is what I tell myself. I'm going to replace that. I can replace that. That's just a bathtub. I see them at Home Depot. I see them at places like that. I just get another bathtub, and I put it in. But $250 so far, and the fucking charge, the $15 hold on the card for a $2 purchase. So now I'm up to about $255 for a free fucking goddamn carpet that's turning into a nightmare that the whole house now smells like someone's cut the chimney short. There's no way out of the house. And all I smell is fucking heavy urine, pet urine, like cat urine. You know anything about that? You know what I'm talking about? Probably, you probably do. I didn't know anything about that. I thought every stink could come out with soap and water. That's how naive I was. But you can't get rid of the stench of pussy. You can't get rid of the stench of cat urine. You just can't. It's got this uric crystals and they never go away. They have to be held with, they have to be dealt with this enzymatic thing that turns them into this fucking, dissolves them, turns them into a gas, and they eventually evaporate. There is no bleach action. There's nothing. I did read one thing that said you could use peroxide, but I didn't have a fucking gallon, 2 gallons, 5 gallons of peroxide at all. So the whole bathtub caves in. Now, when the bathtub caves in, I go down to the basement. I think I can fix that. I can fix it because now I'm a royal buffoon. I'm now royally fucking dumb. I just try to save and get this carpet. I'm going to get the stink out of it. But now it's turned into a fucking fortune, an absolute small fortune. The truck stinks of pussy and cat pee. The fucking house stinks of pussy and cat pee. The bottom of the bathtub caved out and smells like cat pee and pussy. I mean, it looked like somebody had put a mini atomic bomb into the bottom of my bathtub. The whole fucking thing was blown out just beautifully. And I go in there and I fuck in there. I fucked many chicks in there. I fuck in there. We're under there. We're fucking. I go underwater. I go to their pussy. I can't do that anymore because the bottom's burned out. The bottom's blown out. It can't hold water. If the bottom of a bathtub's gone, how the fuck is it going to hold water? It's not going to hold no 40, 50 gallons of water at all, period. It's just not. I used to fuck in that tub, the bottom when the bottom was in it, and I'd inject food coloring, red dye number 2, into my ball sack, and when a chick was in there and I popped a rod, I'd pump my dick off. Whack off? I'd pump off, and they'd see this big squirt of red come out of my balls, and it was in the tub and underwater. It's really sexy shit, and they never seen that from any man, and it really gets them going. They go, wow, man. This motherfucker really is into this shit. He likes me. Look at his dick. He's injected red dye number 2 into his ball sack. You can see the red stream coming out from the water like a submarine has crashed and the bodies are in there all blown to bits. It was like that. It's like destructive and sexual and fucking craziness and no sense at all. That's what fucking supposed to be. So I go down to the basement with my dube still in my mouth. When I say dube, I mean a joint. My smoking flower. I go down the stairs. And when I go down the stairs, one of the copper pipes, now they're copper pipes because they're older. Today they're all PEX pipes. They're all plastic. One of the copper pipes is ruptured as the bottom of the fucking thing came out. The bottom of the bathtub came out. In a corner of the carpet, which is huge, is hanging from a nail in the rafters. I don't know where he even found a nail, like a nail they would put into the joist holding the fucking floor up and all that, the joist or the trusses, whatever's down there. A nail's in it, and the carpet is snagged in, and it's just hanging from it, looking like this monster, this beast, and water is dripping from this big, this carpet, like it's ruptured a major line. The stench is everywhere. It's hanging from the nail. It looks like a goddamn ghost. It's dark down there to begin with. It's hanging. The bottom's blown out. And it all happened because of why? I was going to fix it up, man. I knew people like that. All my fucking life, they said shit like this. What are you going to do with that piece of shit? I'm going to fix it up. Some car. You're going to fix it up? Yeah, it's got a straight six that's easy to work on. You're going to drive around on a straight six, a piece of shit that won't go over 45 miles an hour with your straight six. Yeah, I'm going to do that. I'm going to fix it up. An absolute piece of junk. And I realized that when they said stuff like that, they thought the same thing that I thought. I was just like them. I could bring this carpet back. I'm going to make it like brand new. I got it for free. I didn't put anything into it. But right now, I'm up at about $250, $300 in fucking bills and repair bills and unknown expenses. And one of the pipes has been ruptured. And it's not leaking fast out of it, but it's leaking out of it just to make this carpet usable. It's an absolute nightmare. The carpet's huge. You ever see a hole blown out the tub? You ever try to imagine you go into the bathroom, you're just done fucking. Or your bitch is over and she's going into the bathroom. You've filled her whole torso up with a fucking gallon of cum, and she's going there and she's going to submerge her torso in the tub of water to get rid of the stink and all the cum. That's what bathtubs were made for, by the way. They were made for chicks. They got their front hole and their back hole, and men were paranoid about that. They wanted this bitch in the tub. They wanted that thing submerged to kill anything and everything that's around it and get rid of that stink, because men are funny about stink. Not unless they're from, like, some kind of prison and they've been doing all kinds of shit, then they get used to it, but not regular men. Regular men's got to have them submerged in the water. So, it's just an absolute nightmare. And that's when I called Rapa Lunch and I said, how do you get rid of the goddamn stink of a carpet that I found that smells like cat urine, that smells like pussy urine, that's on this carpet? I think that people were fucking on it, or I think that somebody's cat deemed this their territory and they just kept pissing into this carpet. And I started saying this shit in my bed. Now, okay, I can see one stain, one pee stain from a cat in the corner. Two pee stains, but the whole goddamn thing covered in piss, and these people didn't know it, even notice it in this house. Beautiful house, by the way. They didn't even know it. I mean, Thanksgiving comes by, and they're sitting on top of this thing with a dining room table, and there's a turkey, and they're all breathing in this low simmering fucking evaporation of piss coming up from the carpet, and nobody noticed that. I could notice it in one fucking second. That's what fueled me up. That's what really fucking raked my coals. What really got me fired up, man. I was wound up, and I thought, fucking hey, man, I'm going back there. I'm going to throw this fucking carpet through the goddamn front picture window. I used to call them picture windows. I'm going to throw it through the picture window, you motherfucker, with a goddamn some kind of cloth attached to it. We used on black permanent marker because it won't hold. It's soaking wet. It ain't going to be any good near paper. I'm going to throw it right through their fucking window, and I'm going to kill their dog. I'm going to kill both of them for the shit and trouble they've given me with a promise of a free fucking expensive gigantic carpet that ended up costing a fortune. And I called the plumber over, and I said, what's going to happen here? He said, well, you got to change the tub. And he said, there's another cost involved with that copper pipe down there. That's got to be changed. He said, you know, you're lucky because you see to the right there? I said, yeah, what is that? He said, that's a conduit, and there's wiring in there. And look, he said, there's a section of conduit not even in there. There's all kinds of wiring. He said, while you stood there, you could have been electrocuted. I mean, I could have been electrocuted? Look at the savings I had. Look at the fucking bonus I got. I could have been electrocuted as I'm smoking fucking flour. I'm standing there. The bottom blows out. I could have been electrocuted as I stand in urine water, as I stand in piss water, cunt water, whatever it is that has stained this carpet. I could have been electrocuted. Man, when I went to the basement, you can't believe the stink. You can't believe the horror of it all. Have you ever, try to imagine you go in your basement, you look up, and there's a giant fucking, like a freakishly big carpet that should be worth a fortune, and you're looking at it hanging from the top of the joist or the trusses or whatever they are, holding up the floor, and it's hanging there out of the bathtub. It's just weird. Looks like somebody dropped a bomb on me, like some stray plane from Iran or some shit dropped a bomb on me. Some drone dropped a bomb and it went through the bathtub. It had the same goddamn appearance. That's what I called wrap a lunch. He told me you can't get rid of it. You can never get rid of it. You can never get rid of a pet urine carpet ever. I mean, you can never keep it. You have to get rid of it. You have to dump it immediately. What I should have did was when I got to the end of the street, I should have, when it started to smell an odor, I should have kicked it out of the fucking truck. I've done that. I should have crawled to the back while the truck was running, and I should have kicked it out the back, dropped the fucking back door of the truck, the hat, the thing you pulled down, and got rid of it now. That would have been smart. So I guess I didn't learn anything up to this time in my life. I didn't learn there are no goddamn savings. There's always someone to pay. There's always a piper. There's always a price tag. There's always an eventual. It is. That's what's going to happen. Here it is. The price tag has come in for your savings. I didn't save a goddamn thing. When I asked about the truck, I said to a place, I said, how do I get rid of it? He said, well, that has to be detailed. I said, okay, can't you just remove the carpet that I put back there, the indoor-outdoor carpet, because it stinks so bad? He said, no, we can't do that. He said, we're going to have to clean the back of the truck, then reseal the back of the truck with this exterior clear acrylic that's made for truck liners, and it has to be done, otherwise you're always going to smell it. He said, there's rust in that truck, and that pet urine, that your crystal's urine, gets caught up in the rust and all that. He said, you'll smell it there forever. This fucking thing was like a nightmare. It just wouldn't go away. And I still feel pressure right now. And I think, you know what? I'm never doing a recording again. One of these fucking recordings. I owe $300 goddamn because of this stupid idea. My bathtub's blown out. My truck is destroyed. And I smell like piss. I lost some dubs. I lost marijuana. I got a $15 fee for a $2 fucking pressure wash. Nothing has worked with this goddamn thing. I'm going to keep the rug. And I'm going to tell you why I'm going to keep the rug. It's never going to be in my house. It's never going to be in a goddamn workroom, the work building that I work out of. It's never going to be in there. I'm going to keep the rug, and I'm going to roll somebody up in it when I have to. When that time comes, I'm going to roll them the fuck up in this carpet, and I'm going to roll them in and discard this fucking thing, because that's all it's good for. That's the only thing it's good for, a dead body wrapper. And I got sucked in because I thought, boy, yoy. What a deal. Such a fucking deal. That's me talking in my mind. Look at this. It's incredible. I wish I could give you a picture. I don't deal with pictures. I don't deal with video with any of these. I'm not going to do video. Why the fuck would I do video? What am I doing, a newscast? I'm not ever going to do something like that. This is staying exactly the same as you hear it now forever and ever and ever until the day I die. I'm not ever picking up a carpet again. I will use the carpet, and I'll use that carpet. Now I had this big cardboard tube, and I had a cardboard tube because I had once had a piece of hydraulic delivered for a tractor that I had that came in this massive cardboard tube, and I've put it in there. But first I wrapped it in saran wrap, clear plastic wrap, and it's in that tube, and I'm going to shuffle this fucking thing off somebody else. I've already started in the bathtub. And it's a nightmare, especially with the cables there, especially with the PVC and the conduit, fucking the conduit metal tubes and all that. I'm going to fix that myself, but I'm not going to be able to do the one with regards to the big shearing in the pipe below it. It hit this pipe. I guess the guy said to me that the pipe is iron and it's a discharged pipe and they're really brittle. You can break it with a hammer, he told me, but I broke that. He said, that's got to be professionally fixed. It goes to the fucking septic tank. Where I live, we don't have a sewage line because I'm so far out. We have things called septic tanks. I don't know what you call them, cesspool. A septic tank. That's got to be professionally fixed. I don't know what that's going to cost. That's another $200 or $300. So my free carpet's going to cost me somewhere from $500 to $700 goddamn, motherfucker. $500 to $700.
Sigh. I just don't know why I wanted it so goddamn bad. Why did I want the carpet so bad? The premise of freeness, the premise, the possibility, my imagination of what it was, the history behind it, and all it smelled like cat piss. Be known, FYI, understand this. If you have a carpet and there's cat piss in it, it's done. It's nuked. You can't get rid of feline uric crystals in their pee. It's in there forever. It's microscopic and becomes reactivated once the thing gets damp. You can never get rid of it. You have to nuke it. You have to get rid of it. Even the fucking plumber told me that. He started laughing. He said, "You tried to clean a carpet covered in pet urine?" I said, "I think it's pet urine. Could have been pussy urine." He said, "You tried to clean that?" Like, this guy's experienced this all along. He understood it all along. He said, "You tried to clean one?" I said, "Yeah, I did. What's wrong with that?" He said, "I think you found out what's wrong with it." I found out, all right. I sure the fuck did find out. Don't stomp for a free carpet. Don't pull over. Keep going. Don't stomp for fucking collect 200. Whatever they say, a monopoly. Just keep on going, motherfucker.
You've been listening to the one and only...
My dick is enormous. There is no escape.
We meet at the big clock. In cyberspace, it's dark out there in cyberspace. It's scary out there in cyberspace. You're out there in cyberspace. You're frozen with fear. You don't know what to do. You're looking up. You're looking down. You're looking to the right. You're looking to the left. It's windy out. You don't know what to do. You're frozen. Till eventually and quite abruptly, you hear this distant chiming clock in the background. And you follow the chiming clock until it gets louder and louder and louder, eventually bringing you upon this brightly illuminated place in cyberspace. There are thousands of people there. They're holding hands, they're smiling, they've been waiting for you. There's that thing that brought you to this place in the first place. It's a tower, 100-150 feet tall, brown bricks, tan mortar. Way at the top of this tower is a glass bezel. It's a clock. It's backlit. And above that is this chimey bell-like thing that brought you to this place in the first place. And you know why you're at this place in the first place. You're here to clear out your pains, your frustrations, your aches, your woes, your disappointments, your hurts. The person that died on you, the ramen noodles you're sick of eating, the credit cards you can't pay off, the apartment you can't pay for, the house you think you'll maybe never own, the bitch who left you, the guy who left you. You're here to clear all those pains and frustrations out. And how do we do that? Well, the moment you heard my voice, you were instantly and automatically filled up with this highly absorbent orange-colored solution. It's been inside your body sloshing about this entire recording. And now, at the end of this recording, we lie you gently down, we pop the corks in your toes, and all of that highly absorbent orange-colored solution comes gushing out of your body. Look at it. It's forming a small mini lake alongside you. It's orange-colored. It's rusty. It stinks. It's toxic. We shake your feet, getting out the last drops of highly absorbent orange-colored solution and replace the corks in your toes. You can't believe how good you feel. You feel like you can go on another second, another minute, another day, another hour, another year, maybe infinitely. It doesn't matter that a friend of yours is making $250,000 a year and lives in a million-dollar house. It doesn't matter that another friend of yours has got the best-looking bitch you've ever seen, or another friend of yours has the best looking dude you've ever seen. None of that shit matters. All that matters is how good you feel right now. You know you can feel this good anytime you want to. Anytime you're in duress, anytime you feel like you can't go on another second, all you gotta do is think of the big chiming clock in cyberspace, where you meet your pal, your friend, Norm Augustinus. And instantly and almost automatically, you'll feel refreshed and clear. You know the best part of this recording, the most important part of this recording, at least to me, is that for 1 hour, we were friends. Friend, I enjoyed myself. I hope you did too. Write me, normaugustinus@gmail.com.
Tune in again for another exciting episode from the amazing mind of Norm Augustinus.
Dear Lorraine, how are you? I hope this type letter finds you happy and well. I recently was walking alongside the road, and I found something. It was a 1-foot section of a bark-covered log. It was 10 inches in diameter. Someone had cut a small slot into the top of the log. The other end of the log was removable if you had a Phillips head screwdriver. Lorraine, what I found was a homemade piggy bank, except it wasn't a piggy. It was a log. It was a handcrafted log bank. I picked my find up, and I sat on a large nearby boulder. Boulders can be found everywhere in Michigan due to the glaciers that once moved across the state. My heart was pounding like a hammer in a steel mill. I believe the log bank I stumbled across could have been hundreds of years old, maybe even older. Homemade banks like the one I found have been opened, and inside the bank, they found gold and silver coins. Some ancient handmade piggy banks have even contained priceless rubies. Lorraine, I always carry around a Swiss Army knife. My knife can open soup cans, unscrew screws, cut paper, and even remove corks from wine bottles. I removed the Phillips head screws that held the bottom onto the log bank as I sat atop the old boulder. I was a little worried. When I shook the log /piggy bank, I didn't hear anything. To me, all that meant was that it must have been filled with paper currency. Five, tens, and $100 bills were surely inside. My ship had come in. At last, I could relax and catch my breath. Lorraine, unfortunately, my ship did not come in. When I removed the bottom panel from the log /piggy bank, a half dozen pairs of women's very soiled cum panties fell out of the old log. If I'd let myself, I would have passed out from the powerful, overwhelming stench of pussy emanating from the cum panties. Every pair of cum panty had a 2-inch in diameter hole bored into the ass end of the cum panty. They were dick holes. When I examined each pair, the cum panty fell apart in my hands, so I ground up and snorted the cum panties. Some of the cum stains embedded into the panties were as thick as Mackinac Island saltwater taffy. Lorraine, I have come to a conclusion with regards to the log bank and ancient cum panties. I believe that a lumberjack from 150 years ago stumbled onto a log cabin in the woods. The lumberjack smelled pussy, and he followed the scent using his nose. In the log cabin were four daughters possessing hymens that were intact. The mother of the four girls was pulling carrots when the lumberjack arrived. All the daughters and the mother had huge melons and full red lips. So the lumberjack used his hatchet, and he made the women dildos, and then he fucked their pussies, and he drilled out their assholes with his big lumberjack meaty cock. Of course, they gave him their cum panties. So the lumberjack made the log /piggy bank to protect the panties as he traveled through the state. He was like David Banner from The Incredible Hulk. The lumberjack didn't have the Shroud of Turin, but he did have a log filled with cum panties. The log bank and cum panties are all that is left of the cum-filled women in the cabin and the lumberjack. Lorraine, I would like to carry around a hollowed-out log chocked full of smelly cum panties, too. Let me know what you think. Get back to me when you can. Enclosed, please find a photograph of the log cum panty bank that I found. I gotta go. I've got shit to do. Write me back when you can. Love, Norman. P.S. I bumped into your big-titted little sister at the Juneteenth celebration in downtown Rochester. Hundreds of black people were using other black people's heads as battering rams, and they were breaking down the locked entranceway doors in front of each store. When the black people's heads made impact with the storefront doors, their hoop earrings would fall out and land on the sidewalk. Your big-titted little sister was collecting these earrings. When your big-titted little sister saw me, she walked to the fountain and went under the waterfall, and she took off her shirt, brassiere, hot pants, and panties, and she pulled her knees back to her ears. When I went under the fountain waterfall, your big-titted little sister's gash and shithole was pointed right at me. So I ate out your big-titted little sister's fuckhole, and then I gave your big-titted little sister a rim job. While I was rimming and fingering your big-titted little sister's bunghole, a woman waded her way past the fountain waterfall, and she looked at the both of us, and she said,
I was watching the colored people use the thick skulls of other colored people to break their way into stores when I saw the both of you disappear behind the waterfall. It's a black holiday. Let them celebrate. The splashing water of this fountain grabbed a hold of the powerful fish odor coming off your flat bitch's hairy skunk, and it drew me right to you fun-loving guys. This is a great place to ball each other. The waterfall acts as a privacy wall. The chlorinated water will probably kill the crabs living in your whore's cunt. And that's a good thing. So here's the deal. I like this scene, man. I want to be a part of it. One time I strapped on an enormous dildo in the northern Michigan woods, and I banged out a dude's asshole while he was lying face down in a river. I don't know how, but the guy took in a lot of water and he drowned. I unstrapped the dildo from around my waist, and I left the dildo lodged deep in his crapper, and I got the hell out of there. So come on then, paint me into your sex scene. I'll lick, suck, and fuck the both of you if you do the same to me. I've got a half dozen cyanide capsules. When we're done coming, we can cross over to the other side and fuck whatever we find there. So what do you say?
Attention shoppers, this is Baloney Pony, your rare finds and exotic treasure store manager. Attention female shoppers, would you like to get some dick tonight? Are you all but invisible to men? Is your pussy dried up and has your once supple cunt lips atrophied? Do you long for the touch of a man? Take a look at the store monitor closest to where you are standing in the store. What are you looking at? Well, I'll tell you. Girls, you're looking at a wooden tree log, 14 inches long and 10 inches wide. Of course, the log has been hollowed out. At the bottom of the log is an access panel, also made from a log. The inch thick panel can be removed using a Phillips head screwdriver. In the old days, this log would have been used as a coin-saving piggy bank. Fill it with coins, and when it was full, it was split open with an axe. But that's not the case with this log. This innocuous-looking log was made specifically to not store coins, but to store soiled women's cum panties. Fill this panty piggy bank with a dozen pairs of soiled women's cum panties and then seal it up. Your big dick lover will be drawn to the log. He won't know why. He'll saw the log in half to get to the soiled cum panties. When the powerful raw aroma of bad pussy and strange female cum panties hits his coked out nasal passages, he'll pop a rod and look for you. He's horny, baby. He needs a wet, warm hole. The putrid cum panties stored inside the log take on the scent of wood, cum, nature, and pussy. It works on your man like a love spell cast by Elizabeth Montgomery. Let me play an audio clip now.
Why is there a log sitting in our living room?
It's a special gift for you.
Don't ask me why, but I feel compelled to cut it in half using this chainsaw.
Dick tonight, bitch. Grease that hole and exercise the muscles around the side of your mouth. Does all night long mean something to you? Come on up to the counter right now and buy a cum panty storage log for only $79.99. You bought a log and now you're taking wood, baby. You're not invisible anymore, darling. On a side note, my assistant Mandy Phelps has just shit while she was doing the breaststroke in our demonstration above ground pool on the third floor. FYI, this department store sells more above ground pools than any other department store in the world. Miss Phelps was wearing her one-piece 1944 swimsuit, Model 2, available in women's wear, while demonstrating our water spring Model 410 above-ground vinyl pool when her asshole suddenly gave way. When Mandy shit, her body was propelled forward on the surface of the pool at a high rate of speed. Mandy looked like a human jet ski moving across the Model 410 vinyl pool. Somehow, Mandy's head got jammed into the pool skimmer. Mandy has has irritable bowel syndrome, and she is extremely horny. While Maddie was demonstrating the pool to a woman sporting a jet black full body burqa, she saw a big bald, big dicked, bikini wearing maintenance man climb out of the pool. His cum bag was full and his testicles were bigger than glass doorknobs from the 1800s. Mandy got instantly turned on and she shit right there and then. My faithful assistant shits when she gets turned on. While Mandy's head was lodged in the pool skimmer, she pinched her swollen nipples and she fingered her itchy, needy cunt. And because her head was stuck inside the plastic pool skimmer, her moans of pleasure were echoed throughout the entire pool plumbing system. Let's listen in live right now as Mandy Phelps pumps herself off. Attention maintenance, please report to the demonstrator above ground model 410 vinyl pool on the third floor. Bring pumps, skimmers, chlorine, a pair of crotchless panties, a yellow medium-sized sundress, a 40 double D open nipple bra, an egg vibrator, a Bluetooth anal probe, floss, a spray can of FDS, a 12-ounce tube of vaginal shrinking cream, and finally, two cardboard signs that read, "Warning, shit in pool." This has been Baloney Pony, your rare finds and exotic treasure store manager. That is all.
Fuck. 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 Fuck.
Women are constipated 3 times more than men.
When you're walking down the halls and your balls hit the walls, it's a rupture.
Dick!
If you enjoy Norm's show, please head to normaugustinus.com and make a financial contribution. It's our scene, man.